Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Monday. Have you ever experienced something which you struggle finding words to explain? Today, as we bid farewell to Israel's first king, Saul, we stand by as witness to one of those unexplainable events near the end of Saul's life, found in 1 Samuel 28. Saul's kingship had gone from illustrious, when first anointed by Samuel, to dark and troubled, when the Lord removed his spirit from Saul, through many years of tormented living, and finally, at his lowest point of despair, Saul sought the help of a spiritist, a medium, in hopes he could somehow make contact with Samuel, who had died several years before, according to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now, as you read this chapter, it may seem like a Hollywood ghostly Halloween movie, but it's a true biblical history event in God's grand narrative. Thus, we can't ignore it. And even if we can't fully explain it, yes, down through time, in many places in the world, there are people who have dedicated their lives to frequent encounters with the spirit world, particularly the demonic dark kingdom world. They go by various names: spiritists, sorcerers, channelers, mediums, witches, witch doctors, shamans, Satanists, and more. But is it real? Oh yes, my friends, it's very real as demonic oppression and demonic possession, which we find in several biblical stories, and as happens in real life here in our world today. As we look at this 1 Samuel 28 story, we must ask several important questions and seek God's answers. First, was the God-honoring prophet Samuel deceased by the time of this 1 Samuel 28 event? Yes. Samuel had died and his body was buried at his hometown of Ramah, according to 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. Second, where would the soul spirit of Samuel have been after his death? Because Samuel had fully believed in God and been a man faithful to God, as Abraham was, Samuel would have been declared righteous by God, and after his death, Samuel's soul and spirit would be in God's presence, the place Jesus called paradise, according to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 25, and Luke chapter 23. Third, did God allow or send the soul and spirit of deceased Samuel to return to earth for this brief encounter with Saul? And if so, why? I believe yes. This was the soul and spirit of Samuel sent by God to earth to meet with Saul. Why? To prove that death is not the end of our human existence. Samuel's soul and spirit was still alive. To also bring a message directly from God to Saul, similar to how several times angels were sent by God to earth to give human beings specific messages from God. Fourth, why did God allow the medium to call up Samuel? No, I don't see any biblical evidence that holy God would allow Satan or any demonic force to enter God's presence and direct the soul and spirit of a deceased man of God to leave paradise and go to earth. I do not believe it was the medium who brought Samuel's soul and spirit. Rather, it was God himself who did with deceased Samuel's soul and spirit what God did years later with the souls and spirits of both deceased Moses and Elijah when God sent them to meet with Jesus, Peter, James, and John in the transfiguration of Jesus' experience as recorded in Matthew chapter 17. Fifth, could this ghostly appearance have been a demon masquerading as Samuel? While the dark kingdom, Satan and his demons, do have the deceptive ability to masquerade as angels of light, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I see no evidence that is what happened here in 1 Samuel 28. I believe it was Samuel's soul and spirit because of the medium's shock at Samuel's appearance, and because Samuel's soul and spirit spoke in the first person and gave a very clear message from God using God's name, the Lord, which was fully true to the experiences Saul and Samuel had before Samuel's death. And finally, because the prediction was clear, true, and did occur as predicted. The fulfillment of this shocking encounter between deceased Samuel and King Saul occurred a short while later, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 31. Once again, in battle with the vicious Philistines, Israel's army was being defeated, as Samuel's soul and spirit had predicted in 1 Samuel 28, verse 19. Saul's three sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, were all killed in the battle that day, 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 2. The Philistines pursued King Saul, and a flurry of arrows were shot at Saul, critically wounding him. King Saul, nearly dead, instructed his young armor-bearer to run him through with a sword, hurrying the inevitable, but terrified at the thought, he refused. King Saul then pushed his sword handle into the ground, and intentionally, Saul fell on his sword. The concluding record of Saul's tumultuous life are these words: "So Saul and his three sons and his armor-bearer died together that same day." 1 Samuel 31, verse 6. It was a direct fulfillment of the terrifying words Samuel's soul and spirit has spoken to Saul: "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." 1 Samuel 28, verse 19. Does that remind you of another dark day in Israel's history, when the high priest Eli and his two sons Hophni and Phinehas all died, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured, all by the Philistines on the same terrible Ichabod day? 1 Samuel chapter 4. The concluding words of 1 Samuel describe the horrific defilement of King Saul's body by the Philistines. His dead body was decapitated and hung on the city wall of Bethshan as a public display of victory. To this day, there is a marker near the city wall of Bethshan quoting these verses in 1 Samuel chapter 31, as modern-day Israel remembers the death of its first human king, Saul, the son of Kish, the Benjamite. Tomorrow, we'll turn the page in God's grand narrative to 2 Samuel as David finally became king over Israel. But for today, as we reflect on the tumultuous life of Saul, I wonder what lessons you've learned from Saul's life journey. How often did God extend his glorious grace to Saul?